Well, it was my phone that was playing the, on the speaker.
What's that mean, playing on speaker? Okay, why is this not coming through the phone? You guys hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay, they're gone. I know it's irritating listening to it, but it pays off in the end, the questioning that we're listening to. Hey, you know what? What did I just do? Oh, no, that's all right. No, I screwed up. Wait a minute. I played Zappa, so that fucks up the fucking recording. Jesus.
Why?
Well, I might have to get Ed to do it because, I mean, Bill, I stopped it, all right? And then we would just start again. But then I played this music. That interrupts the connection to the tape. You watch. I'll just put the tape on. It'll start at the beginning again.
To just stay on this gold thing. We need to just stay on this.
Yeah. So we got to get Bill to look at it. And we did about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
What do you think? You did about 45 minutes?
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't an hour. So, Bill, can you position? Maybe play bits of it, then we'll recognize where we stopped. It was just getting into astral projection. I remember hearing that word. I was actually getting into good stuff, and but Carolyn didn't hear it, you know, because she was greeting the relatives. So, are you there, Bill? Can you move it forward, test at the 40-minute mark?
Well, and Bob, you started playing it at 8:14 Pacific time, the archive.
That'd be 6:14, and we went an hour and a half. Well, okay,
might be an hour or more.
Right. Are you there, Bill?
With an uncle that would be on her father's side, who she was trying, she favored as far as, you know, helping with things. Didn't have much interaction with her parents, apparently.
Right. Now, this is right at the end of World War One. You might
okay,
know
we got to go.
That is correct.
Bill, we got to go back. You guys don't remember that, do you?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, World War One?
No, we haven't heard that part.
Yes, I've got notes on it. She favored. And the next sentence is going to have something to do with the Scottish didn't have a whole lot to do with that war.
Let's see.
Which, in the Scottish world, didn't have a whole lot to do with World War One. They had...
Bam.
Okay, that's great. So, is that near where I cut off?
It's toward the end. It's toward the end.
Yeah,
it's near. Maybe,
maybe
5-10 minutes.
That's before all the whole inside the wall and outside the wall debate.
Yeah.
So there's quite a bit of debate that went on about that.
Maybe 20 minutes?
You mean when I'm trying to figure out what world, why they used the outer world was the countryside outside Edinburgh? That irritating part?
Yes.
We don't want to go through that again. So I say move it forward 5 or 10 minutes, Bill.
Or try even 20.
Even 20 minutes, Bill. Did you type up every line?
In Edinburgh.
The actual wall?
Yes, Bob. The real live wall in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
The main.
Okay, now that's gone too far.
Being transcribed,
you guys didn't hear that part.
That.
Yeah, so go back about 5 or 10 minutes, Bill. Yes, because this part's important, and it's after the astral projection stuff, I think.
Okay.
Well,
to see each color of the clan, in each color is hidden a symbol. You've already been taught what the symbols are, and you've already been taught that there are clans. Okay? Now, the order of the clans is very specific, and so how you do it, if you take a circle and draw it, like into a clock face, and if you look at what you would call 6 o'clock, that's where the first clan goes. That not the clan and the people or their color or their shade or their plaid, the symbol that's hidden in their color, that goes in the first slot, which is number 6.
No, and then the rest.
You guys didn't hear that, right?
Yes, we did.
It's in chat.
It's tricky.
But that's okay.
I talk about the clock. I talk about the clock twice. This is the second phase, I think. You got to go back to when I first was trying to figure out what he meant about how much of each clan's image got on the clock face.
Well, Bob, I think this
Yeah, just go back a bit, Bill. See, every sentence is important. You can't miss a sentence in this. Now, you guys will be able to go in the archives and hear it all perfectly. But for the broadcast, for those that don't want to know, not going to go to the archives, I want them to hear it right.
You know what I mean?
So we have to go back.
Did you know that, Cal, that he meant another world?
He doesn't necessarily mean a parallel
world. He
does. World.
No, he does.
Not at this point, but that's...
Fuck it. That's very... Carolyn says that's way too far back. But we're going to do it anyways, because this time you can listen to it and learn something from it rather than being irritated by it. You guys are so irritated, you didn't hear anything.
Yeah, we can listen to it again.
I wasn't irritated. But I don't.
I'm comfortable that we know this. We know we heard it. So let's start there. I know that we haven't got a break. So the final thing is, I don't know if Roxy's still there. Did she want to say something? You're on Skype, Roxy. Did you want to elaborate on some point that you that I had to stop because of the kids? I don't see any Skype. Okay, so she may not be there. Okay, so let's just start there. I'm going to mute you guys. And I probably will stop it at some point so we can talk, because it'll build up a lot of information. So maybe in half an hour, 45 minutes, we'll stop again, okay?
Sounds good.
And it's going to get pretty interesting. Okay. Mute all.
All participants are now muted. All participants are now muted.
Before she starts to learn about.
That's exactly right.
Oh, well, that's what I thought. Well, that doesn't make sense. Where did she get the notion it was a metaphor? And who told the metaphor? Like, who's saying?
The uncle.
Okay. So
finally, we can't tell you any more than that, because we haven't been allowed to proceed further than
that. Yeah, well, we have to establish even that. See, you brought up the uncle, but you never said anything. Okay, so you forgot to say that the uncle told the cousin.
We didn't forget. We got stopped to get where we were. We were getting there, and we just hadn't got there yet.
So
we were going there. We just were going to get there when we got there.
Did the uncle know about the parchment?
Yes.
And he's helping her understand the parchment. And what did he teach her?
That inside the wall is one world, and outside the wall is another world.
And if she was me, she'd say, "Oh, you mean out there where the peasants and farms are is the other world?" He'd go, "No, not that. That's just another strength. You can't even see it." I don't know what he would say to her, how he passed this on to her. You know what I mean? How do you tell the kid that I don't mean the sheep meadows, I mean another world?
Bob, it was another world.
What does that sentence mean? It was another world. She hasn't traveled yet, unless you're going to tell me she's traveled. She hasn't gone to another world. She doesn't even know they exist. How does this get introduced to a young person by the uncle?
They don't have the rules against it.
So the uncle tells her there are other worlds to go to. And for her... Yet Count's saying it's a metaphor. I don't know why Count's saying it's a metaphor. No, it's a real world, the other world. Why call it a metaphor? You mean Edinburgh is a metaphor? You guys are very bad at explaining this. So it's very simple.
We knew it was somebody's fault, Bob.
It is. I mean, it's silly. You're not... Just tell us what the uncle said And then tell us how...
That inside Edinburgh is a world, and outside of Edinburgh, outside the wall, is another world. That's what he told her. And she went, oh, you mean there's a world here, and then there's a world outside of here? And he said, yes. And she said, that's very interesting. We thought there was just one world. No, 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 no. There are many, many, many vast worlds at the end of... You can go to England, and that's a world.
Go ahead.
Go to United States of America, and that's the new world.
So far, no plural meanings have been said to her.
Correct. Okay. No what meanings?
No portal meanings.
Well, but see, she actually already had that in the symbolisms and the symbols.
Well, okay, that's an important point. Okay, you're saying that she read in the parchment. The parchment told her there were other worlds.
No, 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 no. Slow down. It's a building thing. It's not all at once. It's not one day she was stupid and the next day she was smart and could rift travel.
Well, what did the parchment say to give her a clue?
Well, it explained how important the significance of the symbols were.
Did it tell her what they symbolized?
That she had already embraced and understood, or thought she understood, that it represented the individual clans in Scotland proper.
That's what she thought. Did someone give her a new view of it?
The piece of papers.
Okay, and how much did they tell her?
They said that within the colors, these symbols that you've already learned have a special activating key. And that if you put them in this particular order, and we had gotten to the six, and that's as far as we got into that whole process, and you start the symbols from the clan, and if you ask Carolyn, she can tell you there's a specific, strict order of the clans.
Yeah, yeah, don't... Yeah, she was told that they...
Well, now, were you asking what...
No, no, I know that, but... Yeah, well, you went off the tracks. Yeah, the paper's saying what? That these are symbols... Let's see, we're trying to find out what the new level of metaphor she's told.
Not a metaphor.
Okay, let's start over
again.
So the writings tell her what?
That you start with 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
You start with the order of the clans, and each clan has different colors. And in those colors, there are hidden symbols that you already know about, because I've taught you since you were three.
So she's being told about the clock face and how each clan has one number on the clock face.
That each
symbol of each clan was each number of...
The symbol from each clan was what the whole color thing was about.
Did it make up a clock face? Did each clan and their symbol be positioned so it looked like a clock face?
Yeah, and it was a circle.
Yeah, with each clan on it. Each number. Number one was McDonald's, you know what I mean?
Was number six.
Okay, so she was told about the clock face, and yet she's saying, okay, is she being told where this goes?
Like, yes, we just said that now.
Wait,
let me say it again before we got here. Okay, each color of the clan, in each color is hidden a symbol. You've already been taught what the symbols are, and you've already been taught that there are clans, okay? Now, the order of the clans is very specific, and so how you do it, if you take a circle and draw it, like into a clock face, and if you look at what you would call 6 o'clock, that's where the first clan goes. That not the clan and the people or their color or their shade or their plaid, the symbol that's hidden in their color, that goes in the first slot, which is number six.
No, and then the rest go in. We don't need to dwell on that. The rest go in there. And then what she told.
Well, you're fixing to ask how to do it for yourself, and so it might be significant, but I don't know.
No, no. Okay. I understand that each thing goes in the symbol. What is she told that leads to?
A key, a legend, we would almost say a pontification of experiencing other worlds.
That was written.
Yeah.
She reads that in when she's 12.
And doesn't.
Doesn't know what it means. She just reads it.
A little older than that, but.
Yeah, she's reading it. Is she getting what it means?
No.
Right. Then she meets the uncle, who tells her there are other worlds. There's the farmers outside Edinburgh. There's the United States. There's England. And then does he go to the important point that there's astral worlds?
No, he doesn't know.
Oh, he doesn't know. So he tells her.
He knows about the papers, but he doesn't know what the symbols are.
He thinks they refer to terrestrial worlds.
The clans.
Right, but he did say there's the other world of England and the other world of the United States.
Yes, Bob, but they're saying that if you're in the wall, that's a world, and if you're outside the wall, that's another world.
Okay.
So you can do this. You can do this in the terra firma version, but it has a larger dynamic if you get what we're talking about.
Which
here.
He didn't.
He didn't. He certainly didn't. But he was able to explain it to her. He was able to explain it to her. So she could understand it. And then when he said that, it was an, oh, so that's how it works kind of thing. And she put it together.
More than the uncle did.
Yeah.
And she figured out it meant, call it astral projection. You know what I mean? Going to another world.
That's not an astral projection.
I know. Like going to something.
I know. You know, but you don't know because that's not astral projection. That's really going.
Yeah, well, again, look, we know astral projection is not the proper word, okay? But it means...
If words are so important, then let's use the right words as we go.
Let's not use the words. Let's figure out the image that she thinks she's thinking. So she goes, oh, what? I can go to another world? Like, what does she think that is? What's the content in her mind?
That there are worlds outside of the world that she knows as is.
Okay.
Okay. And then putting all these little tidbits together, she dawns on her that these worlds can be voluminous.
Voluminous, what's that mean?
Lots. Volume. Volumes of worlds.
Okay.
Because in her learning, in her being taught, in her beingness, in her education, she learns that there are dynamics of even history, of science, of space, of time, of these different particulates that come together that become very interesting, like what does a poet have to think to write poetry? Well, where does that come from? Well, it may have been taught to her that it comes from their world. Well, that becomes a whole nother dynamic of interesting conceptual views. And see, in her place of trying to become, she didn't necessarily wake up and say, it's good to be married to the king. Because, see, when she married him, he wasn't the king. Mm-hmm. And didn't necessarily know for sure he was going to be the king. Mm-hmm. He didn't. I think she did, but he didn't.
And she had remembered that she was to be the queen. She was told that when she was a daughter, that she would be the queen or that she should be the queen. What was she told when she was 3?
To get into the right lineage and you would find yourself received.
And the grandmother didn't portal, did not see that happening, just had the plan.
Correct.
Secular plan.
And taught her well. She raised her up in the way she should go.
So that she could respond.
And when she got old, that she would not depart from it. And she didn't. Now she's a little land girl with a little right of nobility. Now, I didn't say nobility, I said a right of nobility. Mm. So therefore she could be in what you call court, and the whole courting business took place, and then she married this goober who ended up landing and becoming the king. But now that sounds like that it was like a happenstance, that it was just a situation ethics that he woke up and found himself king. See, But it wasn't exactly like that. It was a little more prescribed in her point of view, because the next layer between figuring it out and marrying Albert, before that, because, you know, everything changes, before she married, she had this interesting experience with the wall.
What's the wall?
At Edinburgh.
The actual wall?
Yes, Bob.
The
actual, the real live wall, okay. At Edinburgh.
All right.
The main street that comes down from the palace,
yeah.
The center, the main where the hill comes off and tapers down toward the valley or the gate. Now, this is where we would say here at the wall, but then you'd get tangled up in Depot Street again. But it's amazing how that keeps coming up over
right.
and over and over and over. She comes up to this wall, and she walks to it, and she puts her nose to the wall.
Yeah, we talked about the wall in reference to the Yaley kid and all that stuff, and the wall in New York, Manhattan, Wall Street, right? That's what you're referring to, the metaphor.
More than 18 times so
right.
far.
Okay, so the wall, but the wall begins in
this
her life.
This wall is in Edinburgh,
right.
And she walks up to the wall, and she walks up to it, knowing what she knows, having her pieces of paper, figuring out their symbols, figuring out this process, and she walks up to it and she puts her nose and touches it to the wall. Okay? Because she wanted to press up against another world.
She was thinking that.
Based on her teaching that said, there are clans, there are colors, in the colors there are symbols, in the symbols there is a resolution. Oh, you've heard that word too. There's a resolution, and in that resolution there is a ideology that is very, 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 very important and very, 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 very misunderstood.
Hey, Carolyn, I think you should stay and hear this.
The battery's dead.
Well, just sit here or move. I'll sit here so you can, you know, why go and hear it 3 years from now? It's your mother's story. It's your story. It ties everything together. Okay? So the resolution is a resolution desk, Carol. Okay?
It's not resolution desk. It's the resolute.
Oh, resolute. But that's what you were referring to, maybe?
Yes, okay. And that's the ninth time we've discussed that.
Yeah, right. I mean, all okay. these points that we have touched on are being connected tonight, Carol. So hang out for a little bit.
She gets distracted when you're trying to get it. So
well, we got to get it, because if I don't ask the questions, we don't know what's being said. Carol doesn't ask enough. She doesn't know what's... She wouldn't have come up with any of these connections.
Why
nothing putting down.
Let him talk.
Oh, there we go.
What'd she say?
Let him talk.
Thank you. Okay. She bumps her nose up against the wall in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
With the knowledge that she has these colors, she has these symbols, that there are these imbued powers and secrets, because it's very, any good Scotsman will tell you how important the clan is.
But do they know how important the wall is? She figured out, as a genius, what the wall was, right?
Well, it wasn't so genius, she was told. But
that the wall separated the two worlds. Oh, yeah.
Yes, and that's the way they said it, and that's the way it was.
Right, and it wasn't just the walls between, you know, England and the United States. It was the world, the
well,
astral
that's
wall.
An example. That is a metaphor.
Yeah.
That is a metaphor, but it works. If you embrace it, then you go to the new world.
What's a metaphor? The United
Damn.
States? The United States and all? It's a metaphor for going
yes,
to a new world?
Or the parallel worlds.
Okay. But the uncle didn't know that. She figured it out. The uncle did not know anything about other worlds. Only
so she put her nose up against the wall
yeah.
in Edinburgh with this knowledge and this understanding. And then she started looking at it, and she took a wax pencil.
Mm-hmm.
Basically kind of like what you'd mark material with.
Yeah.
When you're doing darting, she took this pencil and she drew the circle backward, and she didn't have the symbols written down. She knew them. See, she was taught that separate. That was only in her mind. It wasn't written down anywhere. She just knew it. And she started putting together these symbols in the order. And she noticed that when she got to the eighth and ninth symbol, that there became a waving her field of vision. vision called a shimmer in the wall.
Right, like in the scene in Twin Peaks when Cooper goes through the sycamore tree, the curtain shows
up. Precisely, precisely. And once then, the more she continued, she thought she was having some aberration of her mind.
Right.
But she had thoroughly well embraced the process because she didn't question it. Who was she to question her grandmother, for Pete's sake? You didn't do that. I mean, you know, that would have... You know, you don't go slap your grandmother because she says behave, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten anywhere back then. I questioned too much.
Well, no, you would have just been excluded from the education part.
Right.
That's what would have happened. They would have said, great, good, thank you. Come see me next week and I'll give you a cookie. And you say, okay, I'll come next week and I'll have a cookie. And we might tell you something. No, I just want the cookie. Which kind of cookie? I want to know what kind of cookie you're going to have. If you'll tell me what kind of cookie you have, I'll tell you whether or not I'm coming next week to get one. No, that's not the point. I'm trying to show you how this goes. No, that's not the issue here. The issue is, where are you getting the ingredients to make the cookie? Now, we need to get this down right, because if we don't get where the cookie's coming from, I'm not so sure I'm coming back next week to get it or not. So when you get look at it that way, you're just laughing, and that's why Carolyn's trying to leave the room.
Okay, so she wrote these symbols on the wall. I just want to make sure I'm visualizing. She wrote the symbols on the wall.
With her wax?
Yeah, she kind of just rubbed them on. And then the wavering started.
That's correct.
What's the date of this? Do you know the date?
Well, it would have been 19... this would have been we don't know necessarily time, yeah. But it would have been
1912. No, she's 18 when this happens. It's after her uncle has taught this.
Well, then you know.
No. I'm going on based on what you said.
Okay, then what did we say? Go on based on that.
Well,
empirical nominated date that we don't recognize. So
yeah,
whatever it was, it was. She was that age if she was that old.
Okay? No, wait a minute. No. She's 12 when she gets the parchment. Hey, no, we have to go by what you said.
And I got the flower from the baker.
She's born in 1900, Carolyn. She can't be doing it in 1912. She's 12 years old. She does something at 12, and then she, a few years later, talks to her uncle, which is around 1918.
Yeah, Ion said ages ago she was 17 and 18.
Yeah, which is not 1912. That has to be
1912. He said he doesn't know dates, so stop trying to waste.
Okay, well, she's approximately 17 or 18 years old when this is happening?
Yes.
Okay.
And the flour was 4 months old that they were going to make the cookies with.
Okay, good.
Okay. And so she starts this process. She starts this process and she notices wavering. So she gets confused and gets a little bewildered by it. And so she takes dirt from the ground. I don't know how old the dirt was, Bob. I really don't. I don't know. It was how old that dirt was. I don't know how old the dirt was. And she takes and she rubs the image that she put on the wall, here at the wall, and she rubs it out.
Yeah, with dirt.
Okay? With dirt, because that's all you could do. And then what happened was, she thought, I'm not fooling with this. This is, you know, this is a little mystic. This is a little more than I bargained for. Maybe this was pretty significant, but I'm scared a little bit. And I don't know that I want to open this door, that I want to embrace this because it's a little strange. And she was a little bit weary of it because she didn't understand it. She had it. She had every particulate of it. But she was a little bit spooked by it. So she takes dirt and she rubs it out with the equivalent of what you call a wax pencil. Okay? And she rubs it out and it goes away because the dirt, of course, dissipates the wax, and there's no image there anymore, correct?
Yep.
And she stands back, and then she turns around, and she looks one more time, and guess what?
She stands back, meaning she doesn't turn around. She just steps back, still looking at the what you erased.
Making sure that it was completely gone.
Yeah.
Because it's very clear you weren't supposed to write these symbols down.
Yeah.
She looks back, and the symbols are come back. They show back up.
Mm.
And they're in a little bit different order than they were. she goes, wait a second. I wrote this out, and here it is back. Uh-oh, I must not have done a very good job of erasing this, or maybe this was a magical wax pencil that I'm using that's maybe indelible in the wall, and now I'm going to be in trouble because I have divulged something that I was supposed to keep secret in my heart. And it's like, uh-oh. So she goes back, and she's like, I'm going to catch trouble for this. This is not good. So she goes, and she takes some moisture. I don't know how old the moisture was. And tries to rub where she rubbed the dirt to make the imagery go away. And when the water hits it, of course, that really gets it out. And then she adds some more dirt. And you know what I'm saying? It's like a kid who's made a mark on the wall and they're trying to erase it quick and make it go away because they know when mama sees they've been writing on the wall, they're going to get in trouble.
Yep.
So she's trying to erase it. And then she uses water. Okay? And then she steps back and she's going, okay, whew, great. I got rid of this. Now that's completely gone. The water washed away. It ran. The dirt's on it. There is no imagery there. And if there is some little faint imagery that's in there, nobody will ever make anything out of it. And there's no big deal. And I'm off the hook and I'm good. She steps back from the wall. And when the water hits it, now all of a sudden, the imagery starts turning. The symbols come back. The circle, which didn't illuminate the first time, when the water hit it, then the circle appeared, and then it started turning. Almost like you may have never seen one, Bob, but for the empirical record of this tape, it sure will help somebody else later. Like a combination on a lock, on a vault.
Mm.
They have a big wheel that you turn to dial a combination.
Yeah.
Well, this circle started turning, spinning.
Right.
Likened to a vault door that you would unlock a combination regarding.
Right.
Okay. So now she's really into it because she's like, now, this is a fine kettle of fish we're into now, Ollie. What do we do now? Because now it's even more specific.
I think I got some of this imagery 40 years ago, 1969, July, August, on acid. I saw the turning clock. Sounds interesting.
Okay. Likely. Because, you know why? Because the psychotropics that you were engaging didn't disallow you to experience these things.
Yeah, didn't disallow me. Well, it opened up new things and I allowed
you. You didn't push against it because you were tripped out. You didn't know what you knew.
Yeah, these were just, it's just appropriate images. I remember that now. But, okay, go ahead. So she sees the spinning clock.
Oh, you can remember it. Yeah, you can remember it now, but you can travel to parallel worlds, but you can't remember that.
Right. So you do the spinning, she sees the spinning clock, and she's intrigued with that.
Well, no, she's more scared than before because now she's done something she was taught not to do.
Yeah.
Which is divulge the symbols and the order that was her place of being taught.
And here they are stuck in the wall for all to see.
And spinning besides.
Attracting attention.
You know, the same thing would have been true if she had taken a chisel and a hammer and beat a hole in the wall, that someone finally would have noticed there's a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Okay? Because it was very well established that inside the wall was the world and outside the wall was the world. Well, if there's no wall, if there's no barrier, then that world can slip into this world and this world can slip into that world. And that's the way they described it in those days, and that's the way they saw it.
Right.
But you're adding the dimension that you know we're talking about, parallel worlds. Mm-hmm. But for them, it was just as parallel as going into, you see, the new world was an impossible dream.
The new world being what? The United States?
The United States is a new world, yes. Mm-hmm. But it's just the dynamic of how they thought about things.
Oh, you're saying she wasn't thinking of it as parallel world at all.
She she saw what they call different worlds in the same world, it would be equivalent to parallel worlds that you understand now.
Okay. She did not think of it the way I am.
Yet.
Yeah, yet. Yet. Right.
All right. So she's looking at these symbols. She's really getting concerned about it now because now it's kind of like, now what do I do?
Yeah, it's coming alive.
It is coming alive, exactly. Because, okay, all right, so we'll leave that there.
Yeah.
Then she realizes that she doesn't know what to do because any way she goes at it, it's going to be a mess.
Mm.
And so it's kind of like, great. So she has wet the wall. It's now turning. She's put dirt on it twice. That's a problem. So she says, fine, I'm just going to wait to see. Let the sun, which was shining, I'm going to let the sun dry the water off the wall and see how bad the damage is, how much symbolism is actually left. Okay?
Yeah.
And in just a little bit, of course, it stops spinning and the sun hits it and it dries, meaning that the water and the dirt that she had applied would have dried, and hopefully she was hoping it would obscure it. But when the sun hit it and the moisture started to dry, then what happened is the imagery became even more specifically indelible, and it started turning, but it would turn in different directions. Like it would turn clockwise for a little while, and then it would turn counterclockwise for a little while, and clockwise for a little while, and then counterclockwise for a little while. And then she noticed that on the inside of the symbols that she knew as the clans, then inside the original circle, there were three sets of three symbols that would turn opposite of the way that the larger circle was turning. And then she was like, okay, enough. I'm done. Let's just see what happens here. I don't know what else to do. It's sort of done. So she takes her wax pencil and she goes from the bottom of the wall to the height of her head that she can reach above her head, comes across, and comes down back to the ground. Okay? Basically, like you would take a picture frame around something, she just drew it. And when she did that, then the spinning turned, and it started turning, let's see.
Is this spinning wheel about a foot across or 4 feet across or 2 inches?
Oh, no, no. It's like maybe 7 inches.
Oh, very tiny. Okay.
Well, that's not very tiny, but she was a little girl, and she just drew the symbols, and then it was like upon a circle. But then the circle became definitive.
So you seem to be a little girl. She's 12 years old at this point, not 17.
No, 17,
okay,
or whatever you decided she was.
Right.
But anyhow, so then this becomes very specific. And then so she draws the square around it. And she doesn't know why. She doesn't know why she does that, but she does. She figures, well, I'm screwed. I might as well go with it, you know. And when she does that, then the circle starts spinning dimensionally, like you have a flat circle on a piece.
Don't know what that is. Don't worry about it.
A flat circle on a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Like you draw a circle on a wall?
Yeah.
And if you took and cut that circle out of a piece of paper, and then you put it on a string and spun it around like a sphere?
Right. She drew a circle, is what you're saying? Not a square? Yeah. She drew a circle?
Yes, the original, there was a circle that she put the symbols on, remember?
Right, then she made a bigger square around it.
Yeah, now forget the square part.
Oh, okay.
When she drew the square, then the circle that was there started spinning as in having a dimension, making like a sphere.
Sphere, okay.
Dimensional. It started spinning, like if you had a flat piece of paper.
At depth, yeah, at depth.
And you put it on a string, and you spun that piece of paper around in a circle from top to bottom, it would start looking like a globe.
Okay.
That's okay.
That's
no
a
problem,
thin, 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 flat piece of paper. Torn up and somehow becomes a globe. The afternoon.
Spinning it in a circle.
Yeah. The blur. The blur.
Yes. That's perfect. That's perfect. And that blur is sort of what started showing up on the wall.
Right.
And then what happened once that started spinning, the next thing you know, where she drew the larger big box around.
Yeah.
Those bricks opened up, moved, and for her, it created a doorway.
Just like in the Warehouse 13 at Ground Paul scene.
Well, that is correct. The way the woodwork...
The wall caved in.
Bricks, the way the bricks, the stones moved out and opened this thing up. And then she was like in a gasp, in amazement, because then it dawned on her that this was what she was talking her grandmother was trying to teach her. It's almost like an escape route. If she gets hemmed up, she can do this thing and it'll open up the door and she can go outside the world.
Right. Now, where did the grandmother get her information from?
Mary, Queen of Scots.
Did Mary could do this? Did Mary portal travel?
No.
Okay. It was passed on and some people...
Lore.
It was lore, and yet, but nobody knew it would lead to what Mrs. Bowes has experienced, the Queen Mother. Occasional some shamans knew, you know.
We don't know what they knew.
All right. So the point is, she's going beyond what her grandmother knew with this experience.
Well, she was able to put it together. Now, did the grandmother know? And was just trying to get her to the place where she could do it, and the grandmother didn't. Who knows?
Okay, so that's all right. Just
how's that?
So she's amazed, and she steps through the wall?
She does. She does. And what she realizes is that the world that she's into is an interesting world, very different than what she understood what was in the world outside the wall.
Right.
And then she was kind of like, that's very interesting. Not so bad. Not quite what I thought. Kind of interesting. And so then she says, oh, I better get back because if this closes, I'll be trapped outside the wall and that's not going to work so well for me because I certainly can't climb it. I can't climb over the wall. I'll have to go back through where I came because there's no way to get over that wall.
How long did she wait on the other side, so to speak, if there was any time involved? 2 minutes?
26 minutes and 13 seconds.
Did she walk around in some scene?
Very limited, because she was afraid the door would close.
Right, and what did she see on the other side, through the wall?
Another world.
Yeah, what from a bridge, traffic, you know, like what's the content of the scene of this other world?
It was just, you've already said that it was just... Farmer people, so apparently that's all she'd have been able to see.
Come on, that has nothing to do with it. That's the physical world. Come on, you're here to take Carolyn, so go to bed, so you're wasting time. What did she see? Just describe the content. Yeah, you can laugh. I'm the one who's got to live with Carolyn.
So now we don't have any time, and now we're wasting it. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
No, Carolyn thinks we have time.
A nature scene.
A nature scene.
Four flowers, three trees.
All right.
92,416 blades of grass.
Yeah, but wait, definitely not
way.
Where she was standing behind her in the first world. It was nature scene two, or was there a car driveway going along? You know, bit of a highway. Or?
They didn't have cars.
Okay,
so they didn't have driveways.
So it was a bit nature on the side she was originally in.
Right, and if it had been a whole other parallel world, which we're telling you, of course, that it is.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have known the difference. How would have she known?
It was a parallel world.
It was indeed, but how would she know that?
Okay, she just knows she went somewhere else.
Outside the world?
Yeah.
Into another world.
Okay, great.
Well, okay. That was the, but then she's experiencing this and thinking, wow, this is very interesting. So she's there that many seconds, and then she comes back through the wall, and the second she comes back through the wall, then the bricks that had navigated themselves to open came right back in form, just like they were. The pencil markings were gone. The dirt was gone. It was as though it, nothing had been disturbed. Everything's on, God is in his heaven and all is right with the world.
Yeah, that's a good ending.
So then she's like, wow. So she skips back home up the street, goes in, and doesn't tell a living soul.
Right.
Okay. Then she's thinking, okay, this is interesting. So she goes back to do what she does, which is living and learning and being and all that kind of business. Fine. Then she plays with it a bit, and she tries it again later.
Like a week later?
We don't have any clue, Bob. It was another time after this time.
Right.
And she does it in the door. Same thing happens. The door opens up. She goes through the world, and all of a sudden now she sees something very, 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 very different. The world that she steps into here is not the world that she knew was outside the wall.
Well, there was the nature scene.
No, there wasn't this time.
Yeah, but when she saw the nature scene the first time, she saw that because she thought that's what was on the other side of the wall?
No, that's what she saw.
She just saw it. Now she sees a different world.
And now it's really tangling her up because, see, that the worlds were between, the worlds were divided by the wall, but she thought that once you go through it, then you'll experience the same thing that you would experience the first time. But this time she does it, and it's an entirely different experience.
Great.
Completely different. Actually, this particular one, it's in the summertime, and this time she goes through the wall. There's not all this nature and all this stuff, and there's actually snow. And it's just super weird because, I mean, she sort of frolics in the snow a bit until she gets cold, and she gets her shoes wet. And those leather shoes, you know how that goes. That's kind of an interesting place. She comes back through the wall. The door closes. She goes home, and then all of a sudden she gets in trouble because she's been in the water with her shoes.
Right.
Well, then they take the shoes off, and it's sort of a problem. Then they kind of look about it, and there's still some snow on the shoes. Because now it's like, okay, where are you getting ice in the summertime in Edinburgh? You see, I mean, there's not a cube ice in the whole country until it snows. It's like, whoa, fabulous. Now what the hell we're supposed to do with this? And she just left it as it was and didn't say a word. Like, I don't know. You know, I don't know. So then she starts playing with this a bit, and then she engages the uncle again because she thinks she can trust him. Might as well. He was sort of chatting about things. And he explains that she's opened something that was mysteriously hidden that he had heard about, but his mother, her grandmother, would not share with him.
He knew the grandmother knew something that seemed to relate to this, but never told him.
Correct. And so he was trying to get the information from her.
The daughter. No, you mean the Queen Mother. Who's her? Was he trying to get it from the grand...
The only one that he's talking to is the Queen Mother.
All right, no, but it could have been that he'd been trying to get the information from the mother. You know what I mean? It could have been, but you mean he's trying to get the new thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And she wouldn't give it.
He understood she had a unique experience.
Because of the letters. And the letters were very specific of not to...
The letters on the clock, you mean? Or
no, letter? Bob, the letters that she got from
the
her
parchment.
Dad.
Oh, yeah, no, he was half tuned in, and he knew what she was referring to. So then he said, oh, this led to that? That led to the wall? She told him about the wall, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
No, she didn't. You said she didn't tell him. What was it?
Then
What didn't she tell him?
She didn't tell him what she didn't tell him. She didn't tell him the details of how it worked.
But she told him what she experienced.
She tried to, and then when he got real interested in it, she realized that she wasn't supposed to share that information.
How would she know that?
Because it got all jiggy about it, got all really interesting, and then all of a sudden was very, very she had
to get paranoid.
She had dysentery and she had to go to the loo, so we don't know.
No, this
why got it, and she wasn't supposed to share the information.
Is it, would Ian agree that was good, she got that?
Certainly.
The uncle was not someone that you should tell?
No one was someone she should tell because her grandmother told her she's supposed to keep this part secret.
Oh, okay. Even though it's a part that, well,
it made no difference.
Yeah.
Tell no one. And so she lived the rest of her life not telling a living soul.
Okay.
So then she starts realizing, when she starts working this little thing out, that the war's going on, there's all kinds of tragedy and strategies and problems and this, that, and the other. She's starting to learn about economics and economic tides of when there's extra bread and when there's not extra bread, and on and on and on and on and on and on, and on. The cares of life, as you call it.
Yeah.
So then she starts realizing that she can use her gift that was provided to her, and she could experience delicious aspects of worlds that were not in lack the way they were in right then.
That she could go to other worlds that didn't. She could go to other worlds.
Yes.
And
did not experience lack.
So she got good at going. She always did it at the wall?
Different places, but yes.
Different places on the wall?
Yes.
Yeah, nowhere else. And she could go in and she got agile at staying over there, enjoying it, and not worrying about the gate closing.
Correct.
Right, and so she could stay. Did she get into this thing where she could be there for 3 weeks and only 20 minutes from her uncle's position?
Yes.
Mm. So she got good at this.
Yes, she did. And then after a little while, she rolled along a bit, and all of a sudden she found herself in an interesting place. That in her bedroom, which was pretty wonderful for the day, there was a fireplace. And in the fireplace, she realized, recognized, found out that there was a mantle clock on her fireplace in her bedroom.
She had noticed it?
Yes, Bob, she knew the damn clock was on her mantle, but she was looking at this clock face, looking how significant it looked like the wall, the circle that she drew.
Mm.
And so she just kind of looked at that clock sitting on that mantle and thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. They have a fire, not a big fire, but a little fire. And it's like, no big deal. Well, she starts playing with it a bit, and she looks at the clock, and she sort of focuses on what she knew as her symbols. And she didn't write anything. She didn't change anything. She just envisioned those symbols in that order. And what happened was the hands of the clock face, or the not the hands, but the face of the clock itself, started turning. And it would turn inside and outside, and then it started spinning. And then she realized that the same thing was happening in her fireplace, that it was happening at the wall.
Right, and did you say the numbers or the hands or both were spinning?
Neither. The face of the clock.
The whole thing.
Turning.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, like we discussed before.
Yeah, the wall.
It became spherical, you know, spinning it in a circle.
So she's getting, she's getting the experience right here in her bedroom.
Correct. And the next thing you know, the fireplace opens and she can walk through the fireplace into another world.
Mm.
And guess what? She goes and starts learning them.
The Emerald Tablets.
No, how to get her documentation, or the documentation that she would want to secure her being able to court to become in within the house that could be in the line to become royalty. Not queen mother, but royalty.
Did she know of, was she knew about George? The guy she would marry, did she have her eye on him or didn't even know about him?
They were introduced, but see, that was in, that he was kind of not the big best catch that you could ever run into. He was a little bit mousy.
Right, but was she planning to connect with him?
Well, she was trying to plan to connect with anyone that could further her place in secession.
So she's getting documentation in the other world and bringing it back?
Yes.
So it's like rehearsing, getting it done, and then it's...
Getting her travel papers.
Why did she need that?
Because you...